Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. We're going to be continuing a sermon that we began last time, one that I preached just here recently prior to the Christmas holiday. And I took the liberty of using the title of one of the Santa Claus movies, actually the third edition, called The Escape Clause. And our scripture text came from James 5, verses 7 and 8, where James encouraged the believers that even though they were enduring some hardship, just as surely as the early rains came, the farmers knew that the latter rains would come. Well, just as surely that we as believers know that Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies pertaining his first coming, that all the prophecies pertaining his second coming will in fact happen as well. And from that, we should be encouraged. Please enjoy part two of this message entitled The Escape Clause.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
Just as for 100 years, it hadn't rained while Noah was working on that ark, but then one day that first drop fell. They looked for 4,000 years from Genesis 3 on. And then one day that star shone above Bethlehem. We are looking for that trumpet sound. They were looking for it in Paul's day. They were looking for it in Peter's day. We're still looking for it today. But one day, perhaps today, it will happen. Paul said this to the brethren in Thessalonica that were lamenting the loss of their church members and family members that had already died before the rapture. Well, what's going to happen to them? Paul said this, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those which have already fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with a voice of the archangel. You're talking about angels right now in Bible class. And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul said again to the church in Corinth, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be metamorphosed, transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Ladies and gentlemen, the next thing on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of his bride. And let me tell you, there's a difference between the rapture and the second coming. The second coming, by the way, the church is hidden in the Old Testament. You might think you see some references. There certainly are Gentiles saved. There have always been Gentiles saved. But the church is hidden in the Old Testament. Jesus shed the first light on this in what he called them, or what we call the mystery parables of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13. Paul talked about this in detail as he wrote that epistle that explained this mystery body called the ecclesia in Ephesians chapter 3. This mystery body was hidden, and God's dealing with the ecclesia, the bride of Christ, and with Israel are mutually exclusive. There will be a day when the bride of Christ is taken out, and then that 70th week of Daniel, the time of Jacob's troubles will begin shortly thereafter for that last 7 years. Now, we can't know the day and hour. By the way, so we've got the second coming. That will be Armageddon. That will be after 7 years of tribulation, 7 years of global government, culminating in one last attempt to wipe out the Jewish people. 7 years prior to that will be the rapture of the church, where we are caught up together. Again, second coming, Jesus comes and sets foot on the Mount of Olives as a warrior, as the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. Here we are caught up together to be with Him in the air. We'll have the marriage supper, we'll have our honeymoon, and then we'll return, just as in the form and type of a Jewish wedding. 7 days of feasting, and this time there will be 7 years of feasting. And then we'll return right here. And although we can't know the day and the hour, we are not in the dark about these things. Daniel was told that his revelations were to be concealed until the time of the end. Jesus said, speaking specifically to the Jewish people regarding his second coming, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Paul told the church in Thessalonica on this very subject, chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, but you, brothers, are not in the dark, so that the day should take you by surprise as a thief. And remember, Jesus scolded the Pharisees for not being able to discern the signs of the times of his day. Well, what are some of the signs of the times of our day? Some are very noticeable, especially recently. The most significant sign was Israel being back in the land. This is the only people ever. God said in Ezekiel, I'm going to judge the Edomites, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Philistines. God said specifically to each of them, you are finished. You will cease to exist as a people. Well, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, can you find on a map the nation of the Edomites? Can you find on a map the nation of the Moabites? Can you find on the map the nation called Philistia? No, you cannot. Just as God had prophesied 500 years before the birth of Christ, they were wiped out and they do not exist to this day. After their destruction, after their borders were removed, they were assimilated into conquering nations and into other peoples. But God said specifically, Israel, I am going to spank the fire out of you. You have been disobedient. I am going to discipline you with everything you deserve. However, I'm going to keep my promises that I made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he goes on in Isaiah and said, not after the first time I have to take you out of the land, but after I've brought you back the second time. That's when you can look for the branch of the king that will come to rule and reign. For 2,000 years, ladies and gentlemen, there was no borders of Israel. There was no nation of Israel. Just as the prophets had foretold, Jews were scattered throughout every nation in the world. Yet they always, again, because of their kosher laws and other things, maintained their distinct identity. Rather than Jewish Americans, they were American Jews. And after 2,000 years, after World War II, the Jews began to assimilate back at a greater pace. And on May the 14th, 1948, David Ben-Gurion, reading from the book of Ezekiel in Constitution Hall, many of us have been there, declared Israel's independence, and a nation was born again in a day. You look on the map, there's only one group over there of those that are listed in Ezekiel that still exists to this day, and that is the nation of Israel. On the very geography, occupying the very cities, with the cities maintaining the very same names they once had. Do you really think that that is all by accident? I believe that that is the most significant sign that we are in the last days. Zechariah 12 tells us that Jerusalem would be a cup of trembling, literally a cup of intoxication over which all the nations of the world would fight over. Now let me just ask you a question. The last time we had a zoning ordinance discussion in the Edmond City Council, did they take it up at the United Nations? No. But if you try to build an apartment building in the city of Jerusalem, guess what? All 157 or 170 whatever countries that meet at the United Nations are fighting over what takes place in Jerusalem. By the way, when Zechariah gave this prophecy, it didn't make any sense then. Zechariah came back and the city had not been rebuilt. There were a lot of Jews that had come back from Babylon. But the walls were still destroyed. The temple hadn't been rebuilt. The city wasn't there. And God said, hey, Zechariah, in the last days, all the world's going to be fighting over this city. That didn't make any sense. They weren't a port city. They weren't on the Mediterranean Sea. They weren't even on a river. They were on a mountain. They weren't in the middle of any trade route. It makes absolutely no sense then that God would have identified Jerusalem as being the most controversial city in the world. Neither does it make any sense today. Because until God blessed President Trump and we moved our embassy to Jerusalem, the world didn't even recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Doesn't make any sense. Except that God's son was crucified there. And God said, that is my city. And one day my son will rule and reign from there. And you look around today and that is the city that everybody is fighting over and will continue to fight over. Another sign is war, or the rumors of war rising from Iran. Because the scripture tells us in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that there will be a coalition led by Iran and Turkey that will attempt to destroy Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, the Iran nuclear deal did nothing but accelerate Iran's goals to develop a nuclear bomb. Trump did the right thing, President Trump did the right thing and got us out of that wicked deal that our former president had cut. But I promise you, if Trump doesn't serve a second term, that'll be put right back into effect. And Iran is still focused on destroying the existence of the nation and the people of Israel. The scriptures tell us that there will be an attempt at global socialism orchestrated by 10 powerful men who wish to control the world. Look at Daniel 2 verse 44, Revelation 17 verse 12. They'll have a period of time. I have a hunch. I'm not speaking for Dan or anybody else. I personally am suspicious that George Soros or his son is not one of those evil men. I also believe that Bill Gates is one of those evil men. You could probably look down the list of our tech giants that are guilty of treason of our country and find a laundry list of candidates for that list of 10 men. But ladies and gentlemen, they are planning right now. By the way, we'll have it completed, about a 7-minute video that we'll have to be able to share with you all probably by tomorrow morning that we need to get out on social media and get to all of our legislators. To hopefully influence the current debate over the White House by presenting the Davos conference from a biblical perspective. But these global elites that wish to rule the world right now are planning to meet in Davos again in 2021 and implement their goal of global socialism. Donald Trump was a fly in the ointment when he was elected under the promise of making America great again. We've put together just a short segment, which will be in the final version that'll come out tomorrow, but I want to play it for you now.
Now is the historical moment, the time, not only to fight severe virus, but to shape the system.
We have a unique but rapidly shrinking window of opportunity to learn lessons and reset ourselves on a more sustainable path.
What is it that would make it so that history would look at this crisis as the great opportunity for reset?
The Great Reset is a welcome recognition that this human tragedy must be a wake-up call.
The world's problems fit on three sides of a triangle. It's one versus many, man versus nature, and the unfortunate foundation is long-term versus short-term.
Any recovery stimulus should have green conditions attached to it.
We have to change our economy dramatically in the next 20 or 30 years, and the next 10 years is absolutely decisive.
The recovery has to be greener than any of the previous recoveries.
We're committed to conserving the majesty of God's creation and the natural beauty of our world. But to embrace the possibilities of tomorrow, we must reject the perennial prophets of doom and their predictions of the apocalypse. These alarmists always demand the same thing, absolute power to dominate, transform, and control every aspect of our lives. We will never let radical socialists destroy our economy, wreck our country.
Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots.
The General Assembly routinely votes 185 against the United States on almost everything right now.
Clearly, I consider the Trump administration a danger to the world, but I regard it as a purely temporary phenomenon that will disappear in 2020.
Almost as if he knew. Don't let a crisis go to waste. They tried to manufacture climate change as the issue after Russia fell. With that, they've had a hard time gaining traction with that, although they still beat that drum. But now the pandemic is the crisis that they are using on top of the green movement to accomplish their goal. Notice some of the things. This is the World Economic Forum. By 2030, there will be no private property ownership. Ladies and gentlemen, our founding fathers knew that without private property, by the way, the most precious private property you own is your person. With no private property ownership, that means you don't even belong to you. Notice they stated that the United States cannot be the world superpower. Why is that? Or the one country that in our birth certificate was built upon the laws of nature and nature's God. That the whole purpose of government was to secure our unalienable God-given rights. And whenever any government got out of whack, we had the right to alter, abolish, or throw it off and establish new government. That doesn't fit well with global tyranny. You notice in the flags, what was the center flag and the line of flags here? Communist China. What have we noticed? What group, just as in the 40s and 50s, the Soviet Union had infiltrated our government deeply, now we find the communists have infiltrated our government deeply and our universities and everywhere else. No meat. They're going to control our diet, folks. You read in Revelation chapter 6, it says that 25% of the world people are going to die. You know what's ironic? If you look at video of India, you've got the citizens of India starving to death while cattle are roaming the streets all around them. but they believe those are their dead ancestors. I believe that not only are real famines coming, but forced famines coming definitely during this 7-year period of tribulation. Notice that 1 billion people will be displaced by global climate change. Well, I don't even believe in man-made global climate change. But they've already stated that 1 billion people will be displaced. That's a fact. That's happening. So knock your borders down, because get ready for mass migration. No longer retain your sovereignty as a people. We're going to do away with, it said the Western values will be tested to the breaking point. I would say that our Western values are currently being tested to the breaking point. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that this global cabal is coming. I'm just working to pray that it doesn't happen until after the rapture. But the scripture tells us that these 10 horns will put forward a front man, a super politician who promises peace, and global socialism will be implemented. Note the verses on the screen if you want to check this out. I used to say it would be a politician like Barack Obama, who was everything to all people. He was black, he was white, he was Christian, he was Muslim, he was pro-marriage, he was pro-gay marriage. He's whatever you wanted him to be. Folks, I'm not so sure that the Antichrist won't actually be Barack Obama, as he continues to hang around D.C. and continues to be the puppet of George Soros. This super narcissist politician will eventually become the absolute dictator, throw off his feigned respect for religion, Revelation chapter 17, verse 16, and demand that he be worshipped, Matthew 24, 15, 2 Thessalonians 2, 4, Revelation 13, 12. There will be a push to demand submission through receiving a mark without which a person won't be able to buy, sell, travel, or do any business. Yeah, I've been amazed at how hostile people have become over masks. When I tell people right now, I don't care if you wear a mask, that's fine. You're welcome to do it. If they say something to me in the store, it's called personal. Up until this year, it was called personal protective equipment. Why is that? Because just as if you're cutting lumber with a chainsaw, you're trying to keep as much of the sawdust out of your lungs. But if you've noticed, if you've ever done that, that mask doesn't work. Even something as large and chunky as sawdust gets through the mask. Doctors would wear masks to protect themselves from you, from blood or spit or any of your other juices that might come flowing during a surgery or a checkup. It was well known. I've got the documentation because I want to make sure. I'm an Acts 17:11 guy. I want to make sure I'm right. Up until this year, it was stated that masks don't defend against aerosols. Now, all of a sudden, we're told that if you don't wear a mask, you're trying to kill other people. What is that? I thought they didn't defend. By the way, if the mask really did work, and it's because of it's an aerosol, then how does the plastic visor work in place of a mask? Does that aerosol just not smart enough to figure out how to sneak around the sides of the visor? And have you noticed the deadly looks that you get if you have the audacity to not wear a mask? Now think for a moment. How quickly will the world turn on nonconformists during the tribulation? Hey, he's not wearing the mark. That guy's not wearing the mark. Get him. He's trying to kill the rest of us. And you won't be able to buy or sell. What are they talking about now? Not only are they working on forced masking over the first 100 days, which, as our brilliant doctor that we had in San Angelo, Texas, for every PhD on one side of the issue, there's an equal and opposite PhD on the other side of the issue. There are as many doctors that say masks do more damage than harm, but their voices aren't allowed to be heard. That's one thing that causes me concern. You know, you go to the university and you try to promote the idea, at least to consider the evidence of intelligent design, you are shut down. You don't even have a voice. You try to say, hey, life begins at conception, you are shut down. Hey, there are only two genders, male and female, you are silenced and shut down. That's hate speech. Folks, we don't try to shut down anybody. We want the debate. You let us have an honest debate, the facts will bear out and we'll win. Why is it that the emergency room hero doctors in front of the Supreme Court are all of a sudden marginalized or taken off of social media? Why is it this doctor in Oregon lost his license because he dared question the efficacy of masks? Can we not have this honest debate? Is 100% of science really convinced about this?
We thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. We look forward to being with you next time as we wrap up this message, The Escape Clause. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.